do the 10-minute halacha first today. Someone asked me to discuss prioritizing tzedakah funds. A lot of times people come from outside the community, especially on a Sunday. Today's a Sunday, so it's always good to know what to do when the lines of people start forming at your door on a Sunday afternoon. How much of our money should be going outside of the community, how much should be going inside the community, how exactly to guide us in giving tzedakah. The Torah writes that the gabai tzedakah in general have to be chachamim, nevonim, v'ne'emanim. So we understand chachamim, they need to know the halacha. Ne'emanim, obviously they need to be trustworthy. Nevonim, apparently the judgment is also critical. You need to have a certain sense of judgment and not just say, okay, I give $5 to everyone who comes to the door. You need to be able to judge a need, you need to be able to judge how desperate people are, you need to be able to judge what kind of difference you can make. So the halacha very strongly guides the priorities in terms of giving tzedakah. So there is a major discussion in the Rishonim whether if you have $100, is it best to give $1 to 100 different people, or is it best to give $100 once to one person? We saw this when we were doing Rav Yosef Engel's piece on quantity versus quality in mitzvahs. That wasn't even this year. Some of us saw this last year. Rav Yosef Engel has a piece on quantity versus quality when it comes to mitzvahs. So the Rambam writes in the Pirush Mishnayos in Pirkei Avos Paragimel, Hakol ufi rov hamaaseh. Rambam notes, it does not say Hakol ufi godel hamaaseh, that everything goes after how much magnitude your action had, but rather it's rov hamaaseh, how many actions that you do. And therefore the Rambam says it's better to give tzedakah 100 times on a much smaller level than to give once on a very grand level, to give $100 at once. The Rambam might mean that it's better for you to conquer your Yetzer Hara 100 times, and that's why it trains you, it's for you, makes you a better person. Or he might mean that it's not about whether it makes you a better person, it's about your effect on the world. That it's better for the world when you evenly distribute your funds to large, to a large array of people, rather than to focus it all on one person, because then everybody else is going to be left out in the cold. We saw, for instance, recently, the Gemara in Erev and Daf Samach Gimel says that someone who gives all of his truma to one kohen is mariv es ha'olam, he's starving the entire world. Makes it sound like distributing it more widely is the better thing, not just for you personally to be a better Jew, but that it's better for the whole world. The Bach in Hilchos Purim, in Hilchos Matanos Levyonim, also says by Matanos Levyonim, it's better to give less to more people because it's better to sustain 100 lives, even if the impact that you have on each life is very minimal. Again, the point is not only because that's what makes you better, but it's because it's actually what's best. It may depend on what the purpose of tzedakah is. That there's a discussion in the Gemara in Bava Basra Daf Yud between Rabbi Akiva and Tarnas Rofus, where there seems to be some give and take whether the purpose of tzedakah is to actually help the aniyim, or God could help the aniyim. He doesn't need us for that. The purpose of tzedakah is to make us better people, that we should be zocha l'chayel maba. If the purpose of tzedakah is more inward, it's more about ourselves, so then certainly one would imagine that the Rambam is right. Hakol ufi rov hamaaseh. Giving more is better, but if the purpose of tzedakah is to is about taking care of the aniyim, so then l'chora, if you're able to make an impact on an ani, better to make a larger impact. Good. The major nafkamina in this shaila would be, what about a gabbai tzedakah? Let's say a gabbai tzedakah has $1,000 in his account. It's not his money. He's just in charge of the money. A rabbi has a discretionary fund or a tzedakah fund. Should he give $1 to 1,000 different places? Or should he try to make a major impact? So if it's about the giver, so the gabbai tzedakah shouldn't be training himself to become a giver on other people's money, meaning on someone else's cheshbon. But if it's about where you can make the greatest impact, that it's actually better for the world to give one way or the other, so then it shouldn't make a difference whether you're a gabbai tzedakah or not. Okay, that's the major discussion. Probably what you do is something in the middle. You should try to give small, impactful amounts of money, not all your money to one place, but not so little that it doesn't make a difference to the person that you are giving it to. The more important question, the more critical question that more people are bothered by probably is, who gets tzedakah? Who do you give tzedakah to? So there's a pasuk in Parshas Re'eh that says, "De machsura sheyachsolo." You're supposed to give a person whatever he's lacking. The Gemara Ksuvos Samach Zayin Bei says that if the person needs an afilu eved lorutz lefanav, person is used to having servants run in front of him and throwing rose petals in his in his path, then you need to build him back up to that point. Very difficult to understand exactly what that means. And that's certainly not a priority in tzedakah. It's certainly not a priority in terms of over people where there's real need. It means if everyone else is taken care of and there's still extra funds, you should appreciate that someone who had a lot and doesn't have as much anymore is also struggling. That at least, as the Ramah says in Shulchan Aruch, lo diat tzar l'rabim, at least let the tzar be known, let it be known that the person is in fact struggling. There is also an isser of not giving. There's an isser in the Torah of lo sikbot tzis yadchal, lo samot tzis levavcha, that you're not allowed to close your hand. If a person comes and asks for money from you, you have to go and give. You're not allowed to turn somebody down. So that's a major issue. If you have a bunch of people at your door and you're right in the middle of dinner and it's the worst time and you know there's a car full of them and you so can you ignore the door? Can you just pretend nobody's home? Shut the lights, pretend nobody's home. Can you say, I can't see you right now? It's not a good time for me. Is that ever okay? It seems like it's an issur d'oraisa. The Rambam and Sefer HaMitzvos Lo Sase Reish Lamed Beis seems to have machlokas with the Rashi and Shavuos Tav Chaf Hei, if it's only when they ask you, or even if you're only aware of the fact that there are people that need tzedakah. But even according to the more Makel sheet, that it's only when they ask you, they are coming very clearly to ask you. So some of the Achronim sort of dull this din a little bit. The Imre Bina writes that it only applies when the entire chiyuv of Dei Machsero is on you. But if it's people who are traveling from place to place and the achrayus of taking care of them is not on you, it's on the community as a whole, so then it may not be your responsibility to respond immediately. Also, the psukim may be literal, lo sa'ametzis levavcha, don't close your heart, meaning don't turn him down in a way whereby you're demonstrating that you have no sensitivity to his plight. But if you're sensitive to his plight and you feel bad for him and you're not you just can't help him out right now because for whatever reason, so then maybe it's not a violation of the issur d'oraisa. So we should be aware that at least the pashut pshat and psukim sounds like if someone asks you for money that you should give something, that you should be able to give something. Rabbi Basra says, thank God there are people who collect that are dishonest, otherwise we'd be in big trouble for always violating this issur. But because they're dishonest people, we can always say, oh, it's because of the dishonest people that we don't give. But it doesn't sound that that's an ideal. There are halachos in terms of who comes first and second and third in terms of giving tzedakah. Relatives come before anybody else. Krovim come before anybody else. Sefer Hasidim says that if you give others before you give your needy relatives, then you yourself are going to become a pauper. The order of the relatives goes self, if you're poor. How do you define poor? Shlomo Zalman Aruch says, based on communal standards. So in a certain community, if you don't have a car, in some communities you're considered poor if you can't afford a car. In other communities, if you could afford bus fare, you're considered rich. So whether you're considered poor first and you need to take care of yourself first is based on the standards of the community, Shlomo Zalman Aruch says, not just based on having sustenance and food to eat. But the way it goes is yourself, your wife, your children under six, your parents, grandfather, grandmother, children over six, grandchildren, paternal siblings, maternal siblings, and then you keep going based on the laws of Yerusha, but typically women come before men because you don't want women to have to mivaza themselves to go around door to door. Shulchan Aruch says not only should relatives come first, tzaddikim should come before regular people. Rav Kook was quoted as saying that it's difficult to evaluate nowadays who's really considered a tzaddik and who's not considered a tzaddik, so maybe it's best not to apply this nowadays at all because we don't really know. But it's something to be aware of, that tzaddikim, according to the Shulchan Aruch, should come before other people. In the Tshuvas B'Tzal HaChachmar, B'Tzal Stern writes that that's only true of public funds, but if everyone just only gave to tzaddikim, all the other poor people would be left out in the cold, and that's certainly not what the Torah wants. The Ritva, quoted in the Shittim Gvetzes and Ksubas Tav Samach Zayin, says that somebody who could be working but isn't does not get precedence over someone who can't work. Sometimes there are people who could be working, but it's more lucrative to stand in the shul and collect the money. A lot of times there are people who can't work and they need to be collecting money. Obviously, people who cannot work come before people who can work. There is a halacha, anye ircha kodem, people that come from your city are come first. Rosh Shlomo Zalman used to say that Paskin, that it doesn't only mean all of New York. If I live in New York, New York's a very big place. It means your neighborhood. Aniyim from your neighborhood. The Panim Yafos, the author of the Hafla, had a comment that that's only when the needs are equivalent. Let's say there are people in my city that can't afford a luxury automobile. They only drive a Hyundai. They can't afford a luxury I understand Hyundai makes luxury automobiles now also, but let's say they can't afford a luxury car, and the standards, let's say I live in the Five Towns, and the standards are that everyone's supposed to have a luxury car. So, but in Eretz Yisrael, there are people that I know of that are starving. So, Demach Soro, the guy used to be able to afford a luxury car, now the economy is not what he used to be, he can't. So Demach Soro, I should have to give him, because he's Aniyei Ircha, before I give someone Eretz Yisrael. So that fellow said, no, you have to judge the needs also, not just Aniyei Ircha. Rav Shechter is fond of saying that Aniyei Ircha is not only about who lives in your city, but it's about who had the greatest impact on you, who you relate to the most. So for instance, if there's a yeshiva in town that I have no shaychus with, I don't send my kids there, I didn't learn there myself, I have zero shaychus, no one from my community goes there, I have no shaychus with the yeshiva in town, but there's a yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael that I attended and that changed my whole life and my whole way of learning, so I have a shaychus to that yeshiva, so that yeshiva is Aniyei Ircha before the yeshiva that's in town. Aniyei Ircha is Lav Dafka physically close to you. And Avas Chesed, the Chavetz Chaim writes in Avas Chesed Aleph Perek Dalet, that an enemy comes before a friend because it's better to be kofar yetzer hara. It's an interesting ha'ara. Also, the Shulchan Aruch says that the Aniyei Eretz Yisrael come before Aniyei Ircha. The Gemara says that Aniyei Eretz Yisrael come earlier. Chassam Sofer says because of the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, and therefore maybe Aniyei Yerushalayim should come before other Aniyei Eretz Yisrael. Some say that no, Aniyei Eretz Yisrael are Aniyei Ircha because Eretz Yisrael is our land. So that's also called Aniyei Ircha. Others say no, maybe it relates to the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, that by supporting the Yishuv, you're being Yotzei Avnei Nezer, right? So when you support economically the Yishuv in Eretz Yisrael, you're being Yotzei on a small level the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. The Sfasemis says in Yardea that the Torah leaves out this chiyuv because it only applies when there's a Beis HaMikdash. She doesn't think any Eretz Yisrael applies nowadays. Now, clearly, even though there are levels of who you give to first, second, third, it doesn't mean that as long as there are Aniyei Ircha, you give nothing outside of the community. It's just a matter of how much you give where. I've heard Rav Shechter say that he thought that you should give 75% to priority one, and then, you know, not the yeshiva, 75% to your first priority of tzedakah, and then 25% to the next priority. So if, let's say, Baruch Hashem, everyone in your family is taken care of, so 75% of your tzedakah funds to Aniyei Ircha, then the next 25% should be split amongst all the other obligations. Of that 25%, 75% to Aniyei Eretz Yisrael, b'chulei, right? And that's the way that's the way to split it up. It shouldn't be just an all or nothing din. Shulchan Aruch says, quotes Yeshom, that Achnosas Kala beats out anything else. That's within reason. Doesn't mean if the Kala wants a 15-piece band that's Achnosas Kala also. It means to be able to make a basic wedding. The Gemara in Bava Basra seems to emphasize the need for a communal responsibility for Torah education. So paying for Torah education is a major issue as well. Rav Sturmbach says it's a greater responsibility than other tzedakahs because it's more of a chiyuv. So that's another thing where a lot of people sometimes send their money is to shuls. Shulchan Aruch and Reish Mem Tes, Sif Tes Vav, quotes a shita that shuls should come before tzedakah, which is very interesting because you would think that if there are poor people, they don't have what to eat, that should come before giving money to a shul. So Rav Vazner in a tshuva says you have to be careful about that one. To make sure that there is a shul that people could daven at, that's a worthwhile thing to come even before aniyim when it comes to giving tzedakah. But if a shul wants to build a $250,000 Aron Kodesh or something like that, so that's not something that should come before someone who doesn't have food on his table to eat. So again, the bottom line of all of this is you need to be a chacham, you need to be a pikeach, you need to have a little bit of bina, you need to be able to understand and judge and evaluate. The halacha guides us and gives us certain factors that we should keep in mind, but at the same time, there's a healthy dose of common sense is very, very important when it comes to being able to figure out how tzedakah funds should be spent. Okay, we'll dive in mincha now.